Welcome to episode 130. High five of Crippled System. I am 25% of your current hosting battalion, Nathan.
I'm Brian.
I'm Andy.
No.
And that's no.
Not sure.
Not sure. That movie's so good.
That movie isn't good. All the quotes in that movie are so good.
Yeah.
No, that's a valid point. It is an incredible series of scenes and quotes. It doesn't necessarily congeal into a good film.
It gave us some good political jokes, though, like the Who Said It? Macho, I forget what.
Hector Macho Camacho?
Yep. Or Donald Trump.
I like the one that was, somebody started this in the Age of Sigmar thread on the Something Awful forums, which was, which is it a right-wing talking point or a Warhammer 40K Space Marine creed? That was amazing.
Wow. Purge the illegals.
Yeah, I mean, it was just stuff like that, and it was like, yeah. It's like loyalty is life, you know. What's the opposite of being when you love your country?
What's the patriotism?
Patriot. Well, yeah. Is there an antonym to patriotic?
Unpatriotic.
Yes.
Is that what you're looking for?
I don't know what I was looking for. That was a train wreck.
No, that's not a terrorist. That's
good.
No,
anecdote, Nate.
I'm
good job.
I was proud of that story.
Yep.
That
went well. It goes down in the books.
Announcement. Brian Giese's at a dog show, so he can't do our announcements jingle.
Yep. Nope.
Yep. Announcement.
I texted
announcement.
Keith. He's got family obligations, so that's my announcement.
Yeah,
yeah.
Keith was possibly going to be here today. He said he's going to try for next week. So,
meh.
Too late. Tell him too late.
Too late. Yeah.
We don't need Iowans.
Right after that's Gamehole Con's coming up next week, so that's one announcement. If we haven't beat that over, I know there's.
Well, this is our last chance to mention Gamehole Con coming up.
Well, we can mention it in the Gamehole Con podcast too.
But so. It won't be coming up.
No, but there will be parts of it coming up.
Fair.
Boom.
We might be doing a live stream of the final event, the finals of Gamehole Con.
Of the 50-point one?
Yeah, the 50-point event.
What,
yeah.
Is that on Saturday? Or?
Saturday, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be
which,
cool.
Which means be Nate can't play in it because I need him.
I couldn't play in it anyway. I mean, that's the thing. Is once,
you're a judge,
once
right?
Both no, well, once both Brian signed up for it, Andy couldn't podcast alone.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get to play any War Machine at Gamehole Con.
Might be able to. I think Jeremy and Katie were going to be helping out with a lot of that, okay. Too. So
I mean, I figured I would just save myself the money and not buy a badge since I'm not going to participate in anything.
I think Jeremy's going to start being around more often. So that's my announcement.
Well, considering Katie's got a new
she's
unemployed.
She's got a work from home job. It's a full time job.
Yeah, she's working for her father right now.
Right.
Is it?
Well,
yeah.
That's different than unemployed.
Correct. And it's a better job than what she had previously.
I mean, yeah, he's got like two different businesses that neither of them have an accountant. So I'm pretty sure that's a full time job.
She's gonna be able to work from home. They'll be able to save a ton of money on dog expenses too.
Yeah, because they doggy daycared, and that is not cheap.
No. I know daycare just in general is not cheap, but
yeah.
I'm sure housing two dogs is probably about the same as a kid.
Probably.
They at least spend as much money on those two dogs as one kid.
Yes, they do.
So I also, for War Machine Weekend, I ended up...
War Machine Weekend!
Yeah, that one's coming up after Gamehole Con. For that one, I ended up... somebody transferred their badge to me. And it had the LCQ on it, so I'll be playing in that also. That'll be interesting. I'll go two rounds and then drop because I'm 0-2.
I'm 90% sure I'm playing in the LCQ as well.
I am.
With Nature of the Beast and some janky bullshit.
I'll play with my same set of garbage, but Gamehole Con, I think I'm actually going to use the ADR for trolls, but it's still going to have Kalandra in it. So
I was amused this past Wednesday because I was playing against somebody and there were people watching and they were muttering to each other trying to figure out what I could be proxying because I had a mangler in my pig list.
I unfortunately am not going to be able to play anything at War Machine Weekend. I'm going to be running so many classes. If not, I'm going to be producing classes for the painted lounge. Mm-hmm. That and running Who's the Boss as well.
Well, you've got too busy being on vacation at War Machine Weekend to do anything.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got you've still got the two new modeling categories, right, for competition.
Well, we've got just basically a sculpture modeling conversion,
yeah,
sculpture conversion category. That's a new category there. And we also have the 90-day painting challenge, which is painting Vanessa Russell. It's probably my favorite model ever.
It's got the best name ever.
Why, Vanessa Russell? At least get something you can fucking play.
No, I guess that's the point. That's part of the challenge, is committing yourself to painting a beautiful, unfieldable model.
She's actually going to be a lot better once the little two-man unit comes out, because you can make her boostable, so you get a chance, yeah, more chance
to land the 100th mark. Yeah.
And at the crit, yeah, on her crit freeze.
Yeah, the only thing...
So, I mean, that's... Now you're paying 5 points for Luna Sarissel, but those guys can do other stuff.
I still love that all of her anti-Legion tech doesn't work against Legion.
Yep. Yeah, I still hear people talk about, oh, I'm going to take Luna Sarissel. I'm like, then they're not going to be able to shoot. I'm like, they're going to back up. Now what?
Oh. Yeah, I really wish that she had an ability that made it so
if she was
so Isla Psyche just could not see her.
If she was just immune to fire, she'd be a lot better.
Well, yeah, immune to fire would
help her.
That would pretty
a
much take care of most of Legion's beasts.
Yeah. But yeah, super stealth of some kind. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Because
or opposite of stealth, but just Isla Psyche only stealth. Isla Psyche models cannot see this model from greater than 5 inches away.
True.
Yeah, because like Venithrax has his clouds that kind of stomp on Legion's ability to see through them. Mm-hmm. So giving that to her would have been really nice. Yeah.
Models targeting this model lose Isla's sight.
Mm-hmm. And considering the fact that, Privateer is giving away certain abilities to certain things, like, you know, Mountain King suddenly has Assault.
That could be a year ago.
Yeah, that could be something.
Who's got the battle blade deflection thing? Gundren, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? That's how I remember it.
That's how I remember it, too. Man, Mark 1 Gundren with a Boker was a baller two-man unit.
Like, yeah.
That would make people regret
it. It's also a baller two-man unit in Mark 2, but baller in a different meaning.
Yeah, like it's balls.
I remember killing
a
Warp Wolf with that two-man unit.
Yeah.
Just from Full the Dead, they took out a Warp Wolf.
I imagine that's
all the time.
Two heavy warjacks, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, with flying steel for both of them.
So I think I got a three on the flying steel, and just that was it for that Warp Wolf.
Like fucking client bonus and everything. Oh, they were so good.
Why did they? I really wish that flying steel, all the guys with flying steel would have just changed to like quick strike or something where they had two attacks.
I field Gundren so often, and so people keep thinking I'm joking about how much I hate him. Like, I'll put him on the table, and I'm like, I just fucking hate this guy. And they're like, ha, ha, ha. And it's like, no, I'm not kidding. I fucking hate this guy.
I really like the comparison between Maximus and Gundren. Like, Maximus is essentially better in every way and 1 point cheaper.
Yeah.
it's pretty amazing.
It occurred to me something decent about Gundren's terrible, terrible mini feat. So number one, I mean, I've used it before for like scenario annoyance, because he'll get base to base with a flag and then knock himself down and be unshootable, which is nice if you jam him up, because then he can score the zone on their turn maybe. But it is ghetto silence. If you're berserking and you kill, and then you run out of enemies and you got your own guys, you just go whoops and fall down. Or what I do is you kill and then you just roll snake eyes and you stop killing things.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't have berserk because, you know.
Well, because you never hit anything the first time.
I snake eyes with him every charge attack in my entire life.
I think all Merc and Mercenary, or same thing, Mercenary and Minions players are just the most optimistic people in the world.
We have so much stuff that if it worked, it's great.
Well, and even when it's not great, you're just like, but yeah, this thing is really cool. I mean, sure.
The great thing is almost always they're better in a different faction than in Mercs or Minions.
Mm-hmm. Yup.
Yeah. So, otherwise, on announcements, Privateer Press put their insider out that put a lot of new stuff out there.
That wasn't a very eventful insider.
No, not at all.
I'm so glad this insider came out so I could talk. Last podcast, when somebody zappity grumbled and they were asking about like the different formats,
mm-hmm,
I was desperately trying to make sure I wasn't accidentally naming formats that didn't exist last week.
Yeah. No, that Champions format, I wasn't a big fan of Hardcore, so I'm fine with that being wiped out. I really like the Champion format because it does introduce like the four different ways to not win but accrue points, where you've got like your best painted, best overall, and then there were a few other ones that I think I'm missing.
Most scenario and most kills.
Yep.
Okay.
They got rid of Mage Hunter because that.
Now what's going to happen to Raven's Theme Force? Aww. Those people all wasted their money already, and now I don't know. I don't have any follow up to that.
That's fair. But Mage Hunter was cool in concept, but they kept trying to make it work, and it just was always just such a janky award. Because, you know, you'd end up in the loser's bracket, and then your opponent would be like, I want to go get a beer. You want to? Here's my caster. And then you'd win Mage Hunter. And it's like, well, you didn't earn that.
Yeah.
It was just janky.
I can understand there's a lot of folks out there that really, really liked hardcore.
The thing is if you like hardcore, you can run it. It's just not going to be an official event. Exactly. There's a whole forum for unofficial events that and is exactly the same spot. It's just as viewed.
It's not even unofficial necessarily because the index for Steamroller, all the optional rules, you can run hardcore. I mean, nothing's stopping you from making super tight rounds, using time turns with you know, hyper fast time turns, using the scenario that hardcore has. I mean, I guess the pressure point mechanic isn't in the Steamroller packet, but I mean, everything else. If what people loved about hardcore is the one list super tight time turns. The people who talk about the heyday of back when Mark One, back when hardcore was king, those are the things they liked. One list, super tight time turns, and that's all in the Steamroller packet.
Yeah.
I think a majority of people don't really care for hardcore, so.
No, but the people who do, you know, those really diehard like gung-ho people, and maybe there could be entire metas that are just hard as rocks over hardcore, so they can run their local steamrollers with one list, time turns, 5-minute turns. Nobody's
not that difficult
them.
To get, like, little prizes for basically all four of those type of prizes, too. Privateer probably still has a slew of them.
You can give out prizes for anything you want in your tournaments.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord knows, we have free spoons.
Yeah,
exactly. I have a kid in a wheelchair trophy at home showing the kind of things we get prizes for.
God, the scourging prize.
The scourging prize, which I won in a tiebreak by spinning the wheel and landing the closest to a scorncaster.
Yep.
And we had to do that tiebreak like four times because people kept landing on scorncasters.
when was that? That was a couple
of years. That was the very first one. That was the first ever Who's the Boss.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I think the thing that the champion format has that I like the most is ADR casters only. I remember when ADR first hit, I wanted to run an event where it was ADR only. It's like a love-hate relationship because some of them are just really, really ridiculous over the top. Some of them don't really impact the faction all that much. Like Cyrus, until they get another caster, is always just going to be which one don't we play with this time. And then
and they may never get another caster.
Orion somehow on a slate, like maybe down the road, but there's a caster out there that they'll get.
Right, yeah. Art for a new caster exists. Mm-hmm. Like, eventually he'll show up, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people are poo-pooing Season 3 ADR. They've brought an interesting point that every faction's options in Season 3 are really good, but some of the factions, when you look at the options that the other factions have, are boned. Like, the two that I've heard is that Circle can't beat Veil 1 with 20 points of reinforcements. And then the other one is that Crix can't beat Haley 1 with 20 points of reinforcements.
What's Veil 1 do so good? Does she have purification?
Because
I know one of the ADR casters is...
No, the only one with purification is Lucant this season.
Well, okay. Yeah, so I don't know what their point is. Purification, but that's
right. Why Veil 1?
I don't understand that one. I've heard it a lot, though, so I'm not pulling it out of my butt, but no. I don't know that one. I do know the
Crix. If it was Mark 1 Veil 1, I'd be there right there with them.
Crix into Haley 1 is super bad.
It is. I think
what do they do against two Stormwalls?
Yeah, they don't.
They're immune
to
spells. They're immune to melee. Yeah. So you're not melee killing them. You're not spelling them. And without the ability to debuff them with spells, you're sure as fuck not shooting them to death.
You can take the Ghost Shot guy and just kill P. Haley. She's really weak against shooting.
How are you killing him?
Don't they have a guy that sees through models? Ghost Shot?
Who?
Crix. I guess they have that Crix
Leviathan or something?
Oh, the Leviathan.
Harrower's got Ghost Shot.
Yeah.
Take Morvana or Mort Nebra, double Ghost Shot. Kill her.
Well, her ADR will have shield guards.
The thing with
Then she's breaking her combo, and then she's
got
not,
one Stormwall.
Right, and you still have double Harrower.
I do like the Harrower idea. I do think Denegra 3 is probably the better one to do it because she can fuel them consistently every turn. Like, okay, she could take
heroes. If there's troopers, they fuel themselves.
Yes, they do.
They do.
And Morton Ebra is super fucking ball. Morton Ebra is super good with that.
Also, Morton Ebra has the, if she's dry humping a jack, it can use her focus ability anyway.
Yeah.
So she can, I mean, harrowers aren't like Leviathans where they're rate of fire 3. They're only rate of fire 1, so they don't need a lot of focus.
That's
so.
Why I would just like kick them the 3 for the boost to hit.
Yeah.
Boost to for damage, and then you just got one.
But the point is that Haley is pretty easy to shoot to death, and they do have some shooting in their faction. It's not like they're totally
devoid
of shooting. And it's not like the harrower is a bad jack.
I love the harrower. The harrower, for a long time, I haven't given this a lot of thought in the last year or so, but a year ago I would have said without hesitation that the harrower is my favorite non-character heavy warjack. I love the harrower.
The Thresher Souls thing has gotten a lot worse now that melee infantry is basically shat on and useless.
Yes, has gotten a lot worse because of that. But back when you saw more infantry, especially with more Nebra, so it had boosted hit.
Yeah, early in Mark 1, and they could scoot 5 inches after they threshered. They'd thresher, pull all the souls, scoot 5 inches, and then buy attacks, and just destroy you. Yeah.
Oh, they would wipe out two units.
Yeah, it was difficult in Mark 1 to deal with. Or in early Mark 2, I should say.
Yeah.
I guess Vale 1 does have some things that kind of mess with Circle a little bit. I mean, like, the Malice kind of hurts them a little bit because they're probably going to get their guys pretty hot. Dark Sentinel, though, is probably a good one where it's going to mess with their, like, movement shenanigans a bit. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's...
I feel like if I saw Vale instead of Epic Lilith, I would probably start dancing.
Exactly, as a circle player. Circle players are going to be more scared about E-Lilith.
Absolutely.
E-Lilith is on their ADR also.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I guess that's actually a terrible one. I should have said that Circle can't beat Legion in the current season is the argument.
Yeah, with Lilith too. I mean, even when you're...
She's really bad for Circle. Yeah.
Should we just go over the ADR casters?
We can.
Yeah, we most certainly can.
I guess I pushed into that. We were still talking about champions. Yeah, we had more things to say about it.
I love the champion format. I'm really excited for it. And it seems like... even though we can always run those type of events on our own volition, Privateer Press's like pool of players seems to be very official. They like to do the official things.
Yeah.
So having it outlined by the company is really interesting and nice.
I mean, it does help, though, but I mean, who's the boss is unofficial, and that always does well. And I mean, it depends on the event.
At Adepticon, Hardcore was an overnight event with like 12 people playing. I mean, I know a lot of people love Hardcore and are sad that it's dead, but it was dying anyway, or it was dead anyway, and this was just them calling it.
I still see it wasn't the big thing
it was before.
I don't think it was as big as it was before, though.
It used to be right. Like at Adepticon, it was the event. Like if you won that, people felt like you won the event, won the con.
Yes. Same thing with not Adepticon, DICON as well. I think
maybe it was DICON hardcore. I was thinking of.
Hardcore was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Hardcore kind of feels now like how one type 1.5 for Magic was when it was around, and then they consolidated, extended in 1.5 into Legacy. I think that's kind of what I feel like right now. Like it's really fallen by the wayside because there are better formats to play.
Yeah. I'm just going to pretend I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the Magic stuff, I mean, but the key phrase was there's better formats to play. Yes. I feel like there's always been better formats to play than Hardcore, is my opinion.
It's nice for a not real big time commitment. Like, that's fine and dandy, but sometimes those games get really weird. Like, it seems like there's a certain play style that really favors it.
Yeah. I remember we played that 20-point Hardcore at War Machine Weekend. And I watched a game where Brian had a Beastcaster plus 7, and his opponent had a Beastcaster plus 6, and they're both staring at each other over a wall. And neither, like, they were, like, exactly at the other threat range, but over the wall made all the math just terrible for their attacks. So they just sat there and stared. Eventually, Brian just shot over and failed and lost. I was like, well, why didn't you just sit there? You were beast point plus 7. You would have won.
Yeah, you were winning. You had more control. You had more points.
You had one more point in the game. You would have won. He's like, oh, I just don't even think like that. But, I mean, that's a lame situation that some of them formats just create.
Yeah. That almost feels a little bit like the whole I don't like winning on the clock thing, too. I don't really buy into that when I hear people say it.
Oh, I man,
Jim loved in time turns estimating when it was about to be diced down and running a random jack into a zone. which ain't nothing wrong with.
I won a lot of games that way.
Yup.
Yeah, you got to play within the way the game's framed for you.
Yep. I mean, I don't know. That was my specialty, is winning on time turns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Literally, that's how I, like,
Keith, you always said that's how Mercs had to win.
Yeah, Keith was talking the other days, like, well, yeah, a lot of people feel like they should take a list that wins fast so that they can get some of their early games over fast so they have time to recuperate. I'm like, man, I played the dice down every round.
That's the life
every round with my Mercs for years. Like, you get used to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't become draining. You're just like, yep, this is all I'm winning.
That's the life of almost every Trollblood player or every Protectorate player.
Yeah,
you just play all the whole goddamn game.
You can, the whole time. Yeah, you can definitely play the game to win or play the game to not lose. I think that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, although one could argue if you're playing the game to not lose, but from the start you're doing it that way, and to in an efficient way, you are playing to win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just framing it a different way. Like, the Grizzle won, like, 30 Creel Warriors list. Yeah. Like, I think that one you plays more to not lose.
Yep.
Where in Meat Mountain kind of follows the same path until Maul gets applied and the warders actually get in and do stuff.
Right. And that's the thing. That one eventually overwhelms you and steamrollers in, as opposed to just, like, here's a wall, break yourself against it. You're never getting through. The scenario is on my side of it.
Yep. And you know, there's a lot of craziness that goes in with the Trollblood game and attrition, how it plays that way.
Sure. One person I mentioned on the forums there, or on the chat, about how Champions is not really new player friendly because it is requiring fully painted.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the aspects they wanted to pull from Hardcore.
Yes.
As a replacement. They wanted to have that painted aspect.
Well, I mean, Champions isn't supposed to be, like, not to be elitist about it, but it's right there in the name of it. Like, it's supposed to be the elite event, which even by its very nature isn't a new player thing. Like, I guess if you're a Prodigy, you could argue that you should be able to just pick up a game and immediately be playing in the high.
I feel like the modeling aspect has nothing to do with the play aspect, so I always disagree with that.
But, yes. No, and I understand with that.
That was a big driving force of why
I have always been against painting requirements in general, and I will fight to the death to make them not be the standard steamroller requirement.
Correct.
But Champions is supposed to be the elite thing, and as part of that, it has painting requirements. Masters, if Hardcore didn't have it, Champions probably wouldn't have it. But especially with PP wants to stream
that's the argument that I understand.
They don't want to stream bare metal.
Right, because it looks bad for the game. Yep. That I understand. And that's the one argument that I'll back down on and say I understand.
Yep.
No,
go ahead.
It also helps with their...
I do wish the War Machine Weekend Invitational wasn't painting requirement, but... Hmm. Meh.
Is that still? Yeah. I didn't think it was...
Do you think they took it off? The Invitational has been painted required for the last couple of years. I remember it was last year for sure.
Well, because again, they stream the finals, right? That's the War Machine Weekend finals.
Yeah,
they haven't streamed them in a while, but
they streamed the last two championships.
Even if they don't stream them, they're taking a lot of pictures.
Yeah,
and they don't want to misrepresent the hobby aspect of the hobby.
Correct. Yeah, because a lot of people get turned off on that point. Mm-hmm. But I think they're also restructuring their Journeyman League for next year, so that has the painting part wrapped into it. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah,
and then they also have the other league out with the cool Karchev picture coming, and that probably has painting, not painting requirements, but painting rewards in it also. And I feel like those painting things aren't really driven really hard in the leagues. Maybe that's more transparent to them than what I see, but it just doesn't seem like it.
I don't know. Some people, because the thing is with the Journeyman Leagues, you can earn way more points painting than you can earn playing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of people win those leagues just painting like a Chinese sweatshop.
Mm-hmm.
Just painting, just a Chinese sweatshop.
Yeah,
not painting with a Chinese sweatshop.
And no. The sweatshops themselves, the buildings, are well known for being masterful painters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not the workers within. They're busy making your iPhones, but the building just paints like a mama jama.
I've got a question about the leagues. Is that something that's got universal support? Because every league I've been in, I've hated.
Well, you haven't done any of the ones in the last few years, have you?
Like, because I hate them.
The Mark 1s were all god-awful terrible.
Correct.
Like, I don't even know that any of us have even played really... I don't know. The one that killed leagues for me was that damned water one. We all agree that that was the one we have to go take the lighthouse. Go take the lighthouse or the boat that was leaving port and moving off of the table.
You've got two turns to go.
You've got two turns to go 40 inches and destroy five structures that are armor 20 with 30 hit points each. Go, go, go. It's like,
what? Yeah, the ambushers, bog trogs.
Yeah. Get over there. Oh. Yeah, that was a debacle.
I've played in a couple. I haven't
the
really.
Now
played.
Are better.
They are much better. I like the idea. They really try to make it more casual and also more where you're building up a character.
That's what I would say. Have you played since the hero system was built in?
No, I just, I don't know.
Do you
I
know
just
about
don't have
that
any interest
gimmick
in
now?
The leagues.
Because what they have now is each of the leagues.
Yeah, you get a guy and he like levels
guy.
Up.
Yeah, and that's kind of cool. And I see people being super excited about them. And I haven't played in them. But every time those come out, I look at them and I get excited and I look at possible paths to go down for every one of the heroes, and then I just don't play in the league.
Yeah. It is nice for the wish listing. Like, it feels like some of your, like, they always pick models that are, like, universally known as not that great. So you get to take, like, your Troll Skinner, and he can do things on the table to where you actually want to feel them, or, like, Kador's got a Marauder this time around, which is kind of neat.
What I'm excited about the Marauder is that, to some extent, and I can't remember what ability it is, but there was one ability that was on a hero, and then now it's on an actual model, so it kind of felt like they were testing the waters for it.
Yeah.
And this league, the Marauder has that Siege Specialist ability that is sexy as hell to me.
Yeah, breaking obstacles.
If he contacts a linear obstacle, you remove the linear obstacle from the table. And so now that that exists, they could easily just errata and give it to Colossals.
That would be really hell for a shooting army or whatever. You know, it'd be pretty hell just to lose your cover.
Yeah.
Like for, like, Ekane takes a Stormwall and all of a sudden he just runs up and knocks your cover out.
But if you have if you're hiding behind, if you're hiding behind a wall, though, and in basically a colossal, in the vision of a colossal comes trampling up, that wall is just going to go away. It's just going to burst right through.
That doesn't
that
mean
thing.
It's a good game balance mechanic.
Is it better if they give it to, like, a 3-point trencher solo who just runs up with a spade and just tears the wall down?
I mean, either way, it's pretty hideous, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that would be pretty balls all good for the caster kill.
It would. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. But it's an interesting ability.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, maybe if you blew up the wall and replaced it with rubble that was rough terrain that provided cover.
Right, so it still had the cover, but you lost the, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
make but you could actually land your colossal.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that would be that would be fine with me.
Make rubble markers. And
I don't mind walls as cover. I mind walls as immunity to non-reach heavies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the big one.
Yeah, I mean, that is a big part of the reason why I basically won't field a model without reach.
But. Yeah.
It's kind of why I like the idea of warjacks having inch melee reach.
Or heavies just having one
or
inch
just
reach
heavies,
in general.
Yeah,
although you can still be half an inch behind the wall and be immune to an inch reach.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it mitigates it a bit, but you can be a half inch behind it, be immune to non-reach.
Having to scoot behind the wall gives them some landing spaces at times, though.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think the Colossus rules of all reach was something that they kind of feel like they missed the boat on with heavy jacks in general.
Yep.
Yeah, when you're comparing something like a Kayazi assassin having the same reach as a jack that's supposed to be this lumbering behemoth, I guess it just doesn't, like, there's a lot of dissonance visually and conceptually on how that works.
I think they're saying that maybe like the giant flail on a vanquisher,
yeah,
and you're like, this thing has the same distance out as a gobbard's knife.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think probably the main
part
reason,
of it might be the creature being able to dart in, stab, and dart back.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think of scale. But, I mean, nothing in the game makes sense in scale anyway.
Right. I mean, it's a game first.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, otherwise, the gun ranges, I mean, would be Warhammer-ish.
Bows, you know, have longer range than rifles is the one that people like to go to.
Yeah. I mean, all of them ranges are nonsense compared to, like, I mean, like, Warhammer is a crappy game that tries to keep a real scale of their guns. And in that game, you know, you're shooting turn one.
Yeah.
All the way across the board. And it's lame as a game, but the scale makes way more sense.
Well, yeah, there have been one of the problems, I think, with that. A friend of mine who's a big 40K player was saying that the range of a bolter is the same range as a musket scale-wise. So it's just funny how that works.
But so it's still not even scaled out, right? And that's still shooting way across the board.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the muskets in War Machine are like scaled to a dart.
What you should really do in accuracy
I mean, actually, that the Croak Raiders throwing their little darts have the same range as
a lot of weapons.
If you're going to play a game of 40K next week, you should start rolling against your opponent's models and see how many of them survive
And then
to get to the 4x6 table next week.
Yeah, so you don't have to pick them up.
Because you've been shooting them for like a mile.
Yeah.
It's a bombardment.
Yeah, once a day, just roll ranged against each other.
Yeah.
I've seen some 40K games, some of the Apocalypse?
The big games?
Yeah, yeah. Where they take up like basically like a giant floor where you're actually pushing models on the floor
with like terrain and then
yeah,
like literally into the garbage. Could,
like shuffleboard.
Yeah.
There goes my Raiders. but that seems to make more sense to me than a 4x6 table. Just because of the range of the weapons. I mean, you set down the models, you're in range.
I played 40K for about a week, and I had a 72-inch range gun on a 4x6 board.
Yeah,
shooting way off the table.
Opposite corners, you didn't have range to.
Yeah, didn't I?
Opposite ends of the 6-inch six-foot table you did, but corner to corner. Well, it's 72-inch, that's 6 foot. So if 6 foot is left to right, then you're right, obviously the corner's longer.
But if you have that 72 in the center, 10
inches in.
Well, I said corner to corner.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you stayed at your very corner, and they had a model at their very corner, you couldn't shoot them.
It was neat rules, balanced. Too, because I took like an Imperial Guard artillery piece and manned it with orcs, which is cool. They got really neat rules, but then it's like, oh, it shoots 72 inches and has a 1 in 6 chance of killing their Uber thing right away.
Fair and balanced.
Yeah.
You're forging a narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Forge it so hard.
Forge the shit out of that narrative.
But yeah, I mean, so the scale and the range is all gooped up anyway, so trying to figure out what makes sense is kind of irrelevant.
So we should probably talk about the ADR.
The ADR stuff. Yeah, I guess.
Quick note, somebody on the Muse on Minis forums tried to use a $5 word, and they used it wrong, so I called them out on it. Because, you know, if you don't know how to use a $5 word, just don't use it.
Well, then
just use normal words.
Is it like chicken wing?
No, he used the word moribund.
Ooh, what the fuck is moribund? Exactly.
So he was talking about how he thinks that War Machine is dying. Like, he thinks that because the meta is stagnant and everything like that, the War Machine is on its last legs and it's dying. Whatever.
His meta in his area is dying, probably.
The point is, he said that War Machine is moribund and has been for a long time. And moribund means, like, a half of a second away from death. Like, the bullet has entered your head. You are gushing arterial blood. You are moribund.
Or like your throat is cut, yeah.
Yes, you cannot be moribund for a long time.
I don't know.
You can't be instants away from death for a long time.
I think you could be.
Those are long instances.
It'd be very difficult to
balance.
Are they
different instances? Hold on. Keep almost being hit by different buses? Exactly.
You're like in front of, okay, so there's like a train tracks. It's like 5,000 train tracks long.
Yeah.
And you're almost hit by this train. You dodge into the next track. You're almost hit by that train. You dodge into the next track. You got to admit, you could be moribund for a lengthy amount of time.
I've seen Snatch. It's like Boris the Bullet Dodger.
Sure. Point is, nobody knows
bullets.
Nobody knows the goddamn word moribund. He tried to use the word moribund to look smart, and he used it wrong. So just don't say moribund.
Sounds like one of those things you keep on your desktop at work, where it's like the little calendar that says the word of the day.
Yeah. It sounds like something and you wear around your.
He just wanted to use.
Yeah, he just wanted to say moribund. Yeah.
It sounds like something you wear around your waist at a Gothic wedding.
It is, yeah.
Yes.
Like the cummerbund or whatever.
Yeah,
it's a cummerbund that has like buckles that you can release that makes it looser. So when you're eating and you want to eat more, it's your moribund
because you can fit more.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Be a better use of the word.
Yep,
and you could be that for a long time.
Yeah.
You could. So I guess our first big offenders on the list, I'm just going right down the line, is Signar's ADR.
Game's over. Done.
Yep, done.
Sell your models.
Too OP.
It's really fucking good. It's pretty epic.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
I thought the idea behind ADR was to get people playing stuff they normally don't.
What they are is Striker 2, Kane 2, Haley 1, and Nemo 3.
Now, Kane 2, Haley 1, people play all the fucking time.
Kane 2, Haley 2, people play all the fucking time. Because here's the thing, here's the glitch in the system, is ADR isn't there to put shitty casters that nobody ever plays on it. the stated intent of ADR was to put models that put these four models aren't oft times seen as combinations with each other in two list formats. So the glitch in the system is that every Signar two list format since the beginning of time has been Haley two and somebody else. So you've never seen any other two
any other combination
ever. Yeah. So you take Haley two off of there, any four casters you put there have never been seen as a two list combo.
I guess I disagree with the whole system then. And the other thing about the ADR is the 20-point sideboard is it's a lot of models to unpack extra. You know, instead of having 56 times 2 for 112, you've got 156 points of models on your tray. And
it is a lot.
And it's a lot of stuff to write down. It's a lot of bookkeeping. There's got to be some better way to do all of it.
Yeah. That's why you see a lot of ADR lists just default to here's a one at my list with a 120, here's my list without a 120. That's what I usually see people do.
I had fun.
Yeah, I almost think that's maybe what the rule should be. or you get a common 20 points between the two lists.
Yeah, I had fun with my ADR. I played a lot of ADR with I just feel Ron like it's a lot Viros too.
Bookkeeping and Viros. Dragging extra models all
that. Yeah. Nice.
It is in the time formats. It does get a little rough, but I do like the idea that...
Well, even in a regular tournament, time often becomes an issue, not just overall time. And having to check that many extra list points and deal with people subbing in and out.
Although, in fairness, a lot of times the ADR is a colossal.
Yeah.
It could be. But the thing is, though, you have to fit exactly a colossal out of your list as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus or minus 2 points, depending on, you know, what
as a circle built. Player, I guarantee you, a colossal or a gargantuan is not going to be my ADR.
Electro chicken.
Yeah. I came up with the list. Okay.
I watched,
Epic Balder.
Yeah.
Chicken, druids. Go. Unbeatable.
On
it's unbeatable. No, comment.
On Friday, I watched the Warman stream, and they had Morgul 1 with a Hydra against Kruger 1 with the chicken. And the chicken primaled... Charge Tiberian, not Tiberian, yeah, Tiberian. And
probably almost killed it.
Almost killed him. Left him
that's pretty good.
Left him at like 9 or 10 hit points.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Chicken Colossal almost killed a beast.
we were talking about that on Wednesday,
meanwhile, too. The Hydra died to like three witches and like the initials from a goat.
One of the other things about ADR, too, that I think is really important to note is it's not like a Magic the Gathering sideboard where you're like you're really taking a lot of time to figure out what pieces to pull out to pull in for this thing. I think, and somehow it relates to it a little bit, where your specialists are actually like modules that you already have pre-planned against these lists. I'm going to pull this module out and put this in, so I think it's a lot more fluid.
And it's oft times the entire 20 points.
Yeah, exactly.
You're oft times like, well, I drop... Again, a lot of times you're either taking out or adding a Colossal. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of ADR lists tend to have a Colossal that are like, against Signar, I drop this guy and throw in my anti-Signar pot.
I feel like I would do it in a Magic style.
I'm not saying nobody does, but I think most people get lazy about it and just have with or without the second Colossal.
Well, and for some of these other casters, they really play to that style, but as a Trollblood player, it's really difficult for me to make those like nitpicky little switches because usually when I'm pulling something in, it's really expensive.
Oh, well, you could have a 2-point model in your list. You could have Saxon Auric. You could have Victor Pendrake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can swap those.
There's you cannot yeah. swap those
guys. Oh, yeah, because they can't be included in the same list.
Yeah,
oh,
they, really? Can't, prevent, they can't be.
To prevent accidental illegal lists, your sideboard and your main list cannot have things that won't be fieldable in the same list.
Well, but you could have Saxon Auric if you need Pathfinder. You could have, I mean, there's other 2-point
well,
models.
Well, sure, but the
Totem Hunter, if you
the example
a solo,
you had is illegal.
Down.
Just like you also can't have like Alexia 1 or 2. You can't have, well, no, because 2 doesn't have it. You couldn't have like Alexia 1 in your main list and then Harlan Versch in your sideboard.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with the Signar 1, it seems pretty powerful. I really do envision like maybe the Haley 1 Kane 2.
Yeah, that's a.
But Striker 2 of those 3. Nobody's going to take Nemo 3 because everybody hates Nemo 3 even though he's amazing.
Yeah, the Nemos don't.
He'd
get
be really great
love.
With the Lightning Chicken.
He would. Or actually, he'd be really great with the Convergence Jack as well. The new Convergence Colossal that isn't out yet.
The Prime. The Prime.
It has the same. It has the same. If you're within X inches of it, Lightning gets boosted.
And then
the
it makes a little.
I feel like you don't see a lot of Nemos servitors. In general. And I remember
all three of them are solid.
Mm-hmm.
Although I mean, now they've got kind of they blow up all the troopers with all their 1,000,000 power 10s, and nobody takes them troopers anymore because everybody's got that now.
Yeah, so, although
that might hurt him. But
Nemo, he's got the freaking freeze a jack spell.
The full tank snare.
Oh yeah, the full tank snare is
full tank snare a colossal.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Yeah. And Nemo 3, like, I think Signar players don't take Nemo 3 because they can't attach a squire to him, and they hate not having a squire. The chick he brings is better than a squire. She's Caitlin's insane.
Pretty awesome. Yep.
Does he still have, like, the power tokens? Probably not.
No, he doesn't do the power tokens. He makes everything die.
I know his feet's all boosted electrical damage.
Yeah, and so he's just taking heavy jacks off the board with anything. The Dynamo's out, right?
He is. He's out.
Yeah. The Dynamo, I think, destroys a Colossal by itself under his feet.
Not if it's got an upkeep and you decided not to take Epic Iris.
That's true.
Dynamo dies to water.
That's what?
That's what happened to him. He got hit with some sprinklers and then got punched in the nuts.
I think it's Nemo 2 that's on that list.
Is it like a Transformers 2 situation? Somebody calls in an airstrike and it blows nuts. No,
I'm referring
but it's actually a water strike.
No, I'm referring to Dynamo from the Running Man. You know, Dynamo. Hey, Christmas tree.
I sing my enemies to death.
I love Dynamo. He's clap if you love Dynamo.
Dude, Nemo 3's got Lightning Shroud. That's +2 strength on your Warjack. That's pretty fucking good if you're going up against like Colossals and stuff.
Chain Lightning was a good spell last I heard, too.
Yeah, I don't think it is anymore. Nobody takes models that can be killed by it.
I don't know.
You can kill with spikes, but you have to hope for spikes if you're trying to kill.
Okay. Not if you're like if you're playing against trolls. That's a worthless spell.
It is for the
utterly
trolls,
worthless.
Trolls now, yeah.
How about?
You say it's pretty good when it's a weapon master spell?
Even against trolls, I still don't think it gets it done.
Against your tip, yeah. Well, their high armor is a big thing, but with Kalandra's popularity. I mean, she doesn't exist in this world, though, for the purposes.
You never see any of the Nemos ever.
Yeah, they
you can argue for hours whether that's right or wrong, but you never see the Nemos.
And then next up, there's
could we call it Finding Nemo? Could we have a podcast?
We can have a podcast called Finding Nemo where we figure out a good Nemo list.
Yeah, we unlock Nemos.
In Mark 1, P. Nemo was completely insane because of Chain Lightning and with how popular Crix was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chain Lightning's still good now because, you know, even if they're bringing just, like, heavy... Depending on their positioning, you can sometimes use it like a super magic bullet.
If it was super good, you'd see like the Nemo and P. Kruger and those casters that have it. Nobody takes because you learn really quickly that spell just doesn't do enough for its cost.
Sure,
it really doesn't. It's painful because you're like, I'm going to take this list and I'm going to take all heavy beaters and my Chain Lightning is going to wipe out their troops. And then they take all troops that are basically immune to Chain Lightning.
You know who we can blame it for that?
Chad.
Kruger 1. Kruger 1, Mark 1. We can blame for Chain Lightning being not as good as it is now.
Yeah.
It's not an impressive spell on your spell list.
So the Menoth stuff I'm not extremely familiar with. It's not a faction I've had a lot of experience with, but...
It's all good.
Yeah, for the most part, I see the big offenders like being Krios 2, the High Fiora Reclaimer, too. And Epic Fiora. Like, Severius 1, he's in their top, he's, one,
no,
top
peace,
5, right?
Peace Heavy is their best caster.
Harby might be their best caster,
but he's up
Sevi
there.
1 is
yeah. And I don't think Krios 2 in the current. I don't think Krios 2 in the current situation is any good at all. I think he'll lose all his troopers before any of them get there.
But Sevi 1, oh my god!
Sevi 1 and Ethiora used to be the team.
Our local Menoth John brings Sevi 1 and 2 of their Sunburst crews, and those guys with Eye of Menoth and whatever, they're just like,
especially now,
ungodly.
Especially now that it used to be you'd be better off just taking the AoE jacks.
Yeah. Well, he takes those two.
But now you can take, that might be a little overkill, but now you can take the objective that gives them all boosted hit and damage too.
Yeah.
And they're already super accurate.
Yeah.
So they don't get boosted hit, but they are.
Oh, okay,
with
Eye
of Menoth, they're like
Rat 8. They're 7 normal.
Yeah, they're Rat 8, like POW 16
boosted
Weapon Master.
Yeah.
Oh, those things were just blowing up my jacks the last time I played against him.
Yeah, no, Peace Ivy is a nasty caster. He is the one, he's the highlight on that list.
I also think Ephiora is a really good example here of how swapping out a Colossal can really be beneficial for the ADR list, because like she makes the Judicator sing. And in games where you're like, okay, I'm going to present you with either a couple jacks or one big one, and I think that's where you can kind of screw with people a lot. especially with Hand of Judgment around the corner, she's going to make that thing really good.
I think when we really played against Fiora 2 for a long time, it was before Colossals existed. Yeah. And Fiora 2 was really good back then.
ADR is good. I just think it's so much bookkeeping for what it is.
It is. I mean, you're taking a complex game and adding another layer of complexity to it. But
and decision-making, and people just seem like they just take too long to make some of them decisions.
It is a way to flip it up, which I think the game needs. One that I really like a lot on here is the Kador one, where you've got Vlad 1, Sorsha 1, Irusk 2, and Zerkova 2. I don't know if Zerkova 2 benefits from ADR a lot, because she's going to take a lot of the same things with like trying to pimp out that magic, the occult whispers, and her feet. But I just haven't explored her enough without trying to really play to that side to really know how well she does outside of that. But Sorsha 1...
I feel like they got the wrong version of each of them. Well, Zerkova doesn't matter either way, but I think that Irusk 1 is really powerful, and I think Sorsha 2 is really powerful.
Yeah.
I think they got the wrong version of each of them.
I like Vlad because we can get these, like, I think it's Pagani-esque lists where it's not, like, when he started using... the assault commandos, maybe he wasn't the first, but it's the first that I got exposure to it. The assault commandos as a super strict, like, Crix list. And then you can actually start taking those out to pull in against some of those other drops where, like, the assault commandos just really don't do anything for you.
So they basically every really other list in the world.
Correct, yeah. Assault commandos don't do anything except for against Crix.
Yeah.
They're really good against Crix.
On Legion, they're good.
No, because they'll get to that. They'll get to that Ravagore intact, but then the Ravagore just, like, tramples over them.
Yeah.
It just ignores them.
They don't have enough rat to be able to actually hit some of the Legion things because they're higher defense.
Mm-hmm.
For the troopers, and then for the beasts, they don't have enough power to impact them.
Yeah, they're all POW 10s on those shots,
so, I mean, they might live to get there, but that doesn't mean they're going to do anything when they live to get there.
I can't make a coherent counterpoint because my brain shuts down with rage every time I see Vlad's fucking shoulder pads.
Oh, Vladdy.
Space Marini.
Just attack his flanks.
Fucking idiotic.
Attack his flanks.
You don't need to turn your head, Nate.
He can turn his head and immediately be staring into a black chasm of arm.
His helmet buckles down to keep his head straight. It's like blinders. If he saw everything around him, it'd be information overload. So he just looks straight ahead.
I don't think Irusk 2 is a bad caster.
Oh, he's good. I just think Irusk and Isorsha are the better of those two setups. I think if it would have been that way, then it would have been like, wow.
Well, and this is where with the Isorsha, when you get into that like ocean style list where you've got the bazillion solos, that's where your style of ADR or your supposed style of ADR really comes in with her, because she can make those little 1 and 2 point and 3 point swaps and get those other pieces in there to really tailor the list.
She's a hard caster to play.
The interesting question to me, because even let's say it's a fact, just for the sake of argument, let's say it's a fact that Sorsha 2 is better than Sorsha 1 and Irusk 1 is better than Irusk 2. The question is, do Irusk 1 and Sorsha 2 pair better than Irusk 2 and Sorsha 1? Like, how do they overlap with each other?
Because
that's what you have to look at.
Pierusk is a complete animal as far as breaking armor.
Yeah,
is Sorsha 2. Yep. So they're redundant.
They don't really pair up
good. So you can't just say, is this their four best casters? You have to look at how they pair.
Mm-hmm.
Is plain old Kator list struggling now?
Say again?
Are plain old Kator lists struggling now?
I think they're not doing extremely well because
getting the melee infantries in with those kinds of casters, it would be extremely hard, I feel like.
Exactly. Well, a lot of Kator's like really big, the big selling points for them are like Iron Fang Pikemen. And in a world where people were trying to remove infantry, Iron Fang Pikemen really did well, especially Black Dragons. But now since people are bringing armor cracking, picking the head off of a feated pikeman is not that difficult anymore.
Well, then, I mean, doesn't Zerkova 2 run a different style of infantry, especially with the magic boosting and everything?
What she does is she's like...
Those Outriders, man.
She kind of really occupies that same space as Vlad 1 for how I would want to play him, where she can just roast like infantry off the table, just straight up.
But how many people are even taking that many troopers?
Well, you've got your 30 Bane Knight.
Right, Crix for sure.
Crix brings them back in some way, so they don't even care if you kill them.
Doom Reavers are also a big thing to deal with. I mean, they're spell warded, right? But you can target something behind them and still get them. They're not immune to the damage. So I think Kador's is really interesting. I like it a lot. I look forward to trying it sometime.
I was really creating Jordan struggling just with Druids Oberos.
God, yeah. Speaking of Jordan, it's
they're having to spray themselves and killing themselves.
It's amazing how many people locally are super happy that Jordan has deluded himself into thinking that double Victor list is bad.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I wouldn't play a double Colossal list just because I think it's lame.
Well, he keeps going second and then having them advance and then losing on scenario because he gets jammed out of the zones. Like, go first and then win.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he hasn't even gotten to the late game yet to see how good it is in the late game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't know. It's a gray area.
Crixus is a really fun ADR list. You've got Scar 2, Denegra 3, Gorshade 3, and Mort Nebra. I think that there's they miss their traditional like debuff casters, but this just opens up a different play space for them to exist in, I think.
Yeah.
Mort Nebra is underplayed and really
exactly.
good.
Exactly,
yes.
But Scar 2 is not, you might as well just cross her off that list. And she's been hurt bad by Colossals.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the fact that she can't make her Colossal immune, she has
or
to
theirs.
Use the feat the other way around, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she can't affect either hers or their Colossal, like you said, and yeah.
Yep.
And
she's hard to play, no.
With all the new ones coming around. I've played Denegra 3 a couple times, and I really enjoy her. I think she's got a lot of different play styles, so she'll really work well with ADR. Gorshade 3, I think he's kind of found his niche list that people are going to use, so it might be wonky. He might be pulling in or out of Kraken, more likely than not. Mort Nebra, I see being a little... I have always played her in theme.
The new one's really a lot better than the Kraken, ain't it?
Yeah.
The new one just creates a lot of dudes.
Yeah, the Sepulchre's really nice. I think a lot of Crix players are going to replace the Kraken, but
Scar 2, the one with Black Spot?
Yeah.
So ironically, the Kraken shines under Scar 2. She's mm-hmm. one of the best places for it.
Cause only she can't protect it.
Right. Yeah. But she can do shout like 8 shots with that giant gun every turn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wiping out. It is not outside of the realm of possibility to wipe out a Black Spot unit with just one Kraken and Black Spot. It's pretty easy to do.
Well, and you do even better than that because you just do shout those big guns against other things. You mm-hmm. use the spinny guns, you take one shot at the Black Spot unit, and then take your giant cannon at their at a jack.
Yeah.
Then you use a spinny gun to shoot another guy in the Black Spot unit, and then you take your giant gun at the jack again.
Okay, I didn't know that you could use the ones to get the big gun to
shoot. You get another shot of the same type, not the same weapon.
Gotcha.
So every time your spinny guns hit a Black Spot unit guy, you just take another shot with the giant gun.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah, so you just boom, boom, boom with that
best,
giant fucking cannon.
Best Crix player I know is Keith, and he the way he tells it, she's fallen way down.
She has fallen way down. Mm-hmm. I mean, he ran her all the time back in the day. So falling with the thing with Crix is falling out of their mm-hmm. top five still puts you in the highest ranked casters in the game.
I don't it's even think good. He ran her that much back then. I think he likes Iskar better.
I remember playing against him with Iskar a lot because I remember killing Iskar with Durgan under her feet and feeling like a baller.
So Retribution's up next, and they've got a pretty good suit here with Thyrin, Ron, Assyria, and Vyros 1. I think Thyrin's a really big power player. Ron is an amazingly good caster for them. Vyros 1, I know there's like the double Hyperion thing that he does.
That's not the only way.
No, there's many other ways to play Vyros 1.
Yeah, this is just the way that I know him.
I'd be frustrated with that with Rat.
I don't know. It seems like it's not bad.
I don't like Thyrin or Assyria. When I look at their cards, I just hate both of them. And so I'd be stuck with Ron, P-Vyros, which is fine. But Ron's got a ton of bad matchups, and P-Vyros probably has even more.
Well, yeah, but
are they the same bad matchups? No. Although, even if they're not the same bad matchups, that means you're in Lich Chicken Land.
Yeah. Do you think the 20 points would help any of those bad matchups?
Well, Ron pretty much takes what he takes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could talk about your 20 points of Phoenix for like a more attrition-styled army. And maybe it would help some of your bad matchups, but mostly your bad matchups are stealth or anti-magic, and right. nothing you're going to do is going to change that with Ron.
Well, I mean, if you switch out all of it, if you just say, well, Ron's not doing much, my units have to stand on their own 2 feet and just have them be what they are without caster support, which isn't ideal, but
it's terrible with Rat. No, it's terrible with Rat, because your army dies so fast with Rat that if you're not blowing them up bad with synergy, you are in big trouble. At that point, I mean, if you're going to take Ron and have him do nothing to support his army, you're way better off with Vyros.
Right. Well, it's just, but I was saying, if you lost Lich Chicken.
Yeah. Most of the time, it's the ADR. It's most of the time, it's the caster that determines your matchup in Rat.
Right.
Like by when I say most of the time, I mean every single time ever.
Right.
And the caster also determines the units you're taking. So mm-hmm. you already have what you want. The ADR is probably not helping you that much.
Well, I actually played this ADR when it was first out with Ron and Byros.
Byros actually apparently is really good in ADR because you can take the double colossals and you can swap your heavy around from Discordia against shooting, so your colossals are like mega anti-shooting, to Imperatus, so you have like that third style colossal, or you know, you can switch around that heavy to suit your needs.
For him, I didn't run any colossals with him. I just ran a bunch of heavies. And then just swapped out for specific troops. Like if I knew if I was going against stealth, I would actually swap out one of my heavies for the entire long gunner
unit.
Rifleman unit with a Thane. You know, it worked out fairly well.
Byros, and if they had Gareth, Gareth can play with a lot of different troopers. Well, that would be good too.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Thyron. I guess. Gareth, look at his fucking cards. Okay. If that card said Gareth 2,
it would make sense.
It would make perfect sense. They just named him Thyron for some reason.
So the Cyrus one, it's just not mom. But like, I really think
she's my favorite
for the three. Like with the three sets of these lists coming out, I really don't think that ADR has really brought anything into that faction. I know you can probably
elaborate.
It's always going to be at least a little useful.
But last year, my ADR was actually unusable. Let me rephrase that, because that probably wasn't what I meant to have it say. My Iron Mother list, I could not legally use the 20 points that I had as my Vanguard points. There was no mathematical way to swap out 20 between 18 and 22 points worth of stuff and bring in that same amount of stuff.
Yeah.
So I literally was not using ADR bonus with Iron Mother last year.
The best part about ADR for Convergence is the people that complain about the one caster that's not on the ADR.
It's only five casters
in that whole faction. Well, so yeah, you have one is going to be like, left out.
Last year it was Lucant that everybody
the
was
last
like,
two, yeah. They, and it was only so long they could keep him off there. I mean, Convergence got Lucant on their ADR. Convergence is happy.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting. And maybe
because he'll take fucking advantage of it. Because he'll switch between the Meat Mountain infantry list and then just drop in that Colossal.
Yeah.
When he needs a Primaxium, he's just like, fuck you, I have a Primaxium.
Yeah, a Mant 7 Primaxium is pretty gross.
Primaxiums are amazing with him. The only issue is that his army is very slow. Yeah. It does not have any speed increases. And so, again, something that can jam out his Colossal and just negate it, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. So he can just drop it and put in 20 points worth of infantry and say, you know, fuck you.
Yeah, get him up the table a little
bit more. So that's huge for him. His ADR is literally just going to be swapping out a Primaxium for 20 points of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then Cynthia and the other. I mean,
yeah, like I said, I think Cynthia's like his jack suit could get mixed up a bit, but I don't think
you could go in and out of the modulator bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about with Red is having Discordia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As a swap out is a big deal, and Convergent doesn't have a model like Discordia.
A big
that holds
issue,
one faction or one element of the game.
The fact that you can't change your theme force when swapping it out is huge. Because if you could. You could have Axis go from his small base infantry swarm, and you could switch it and run like some medium base stuff for a more balanced list, but you can't legally do that. So Aurora and Axis lose out a lot because if you run them in theme, you have no options whatsoever.
Exactly.
And if you're running them out of theme, you're wrong. And so that's their big problem.
Yeah. No, I feel like Axis really plays well in his
That's going to be a problem for a lot of
Lucan and Sartharion, Cyntherian, it's not an issue because Lucan you don't run in theme because his theme is terrible, and Cyntherian's theme is just take whatever you feel like, whatevs, dude.
Yeah.
And so that allows you to switch out whatever you feel like.
Yeah.
I think, I'm
thinking for minions, that's going to be a problem. Not getting their theme list is probably going to be a problem.
Yeah, maybe.
Next up is Mercs, and that'll round out the War Machine part of it, where we've got Bart, Exelon Thexis, Durgan, and Fiona. Now
that's incredibly powerful because those are all their Colossal casters.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three of the four Colossal casters, and then the one really popular alternate style.
Yeah.
So that's extremely good for them.
Yeah, and you can you could have had Exelon, Bart, Fiona, and any dwarf, and it's still, you know, that's the, as long as you have a dwarf, you can run an Earthbreaker.
Right.
Because yeah, your one dwarf quest has Thor.
Probably the better one.
Durgan and Gorton is the worst of them.
Right. Running yeah, Colossal. Osram.
Durgan and Osram, you can debate those two.
Sure. But I mean, yes. They got a strong, yes. That's a strong yes. Field for Mercs. It sucks that Mercs are now the Colossal faction to me, but.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and then.
It's so much different than they used to be.
The ADR does hurt their 20-point specialist selection a little bit, too, because now you're, like, you're choking the character restrictions a lot, because well, that's where you're going to get a lot of your, like, modular good stuff.
Well, but you get, not really if you're playing one dwarf and one human. It's not going to really affect you hardly at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there isn't much interplay between the Rulic stuff.
No, that's when I used to get forced into a character restrict. I think I went to Gorton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was before everything happened in the game and Colossals existed.
And Exelon is
one unit.
Yeah, he doesn't even care about...
he has no character restrictions besides the Mindbender guy that latches onto the character unit.
And honestly, there's very few that really work.
And he
well
takes Elixir, and you're probably not taking Elixir with your Colossals list.
No,
correct. Or you might not take Boomhauers either. And I think Boomhauers are probably the best in Exelon's list anyway. Yeah.
You probably would take Boomhauers with Fiona. If you're doing Fiona Exelon, they're fighting over Boomhauers. But if you're doing that, then you're taking the Boomhauers with Fiona and putting Alexia in your Exelon list instead.
So it's not a big deal. And the old style of Mercs really got crushed by character restricts. The new style of Mercs, where they're basically taking the Colossals, is
God, I love Fiona with Boomhauers. Oh, God, I feel like such an asshole. It's almost like casting Temporal Barrier.
It's good. It's a good time.
Oh.
That's a unit that's kind of eating a little bit of shit too lately, Boomhauers. Because there's a lot of anti-tough out there now.
Yeah, mortalities and silence of death. It's ridiculous.
It's just even my list plays quad Gallows Groves.
Yeah.
The troll ADR is really strong. It's got Borka 1.
The troll ADR is just four people holding weapons above their head.
It is. one of them has, I think, oh no, that's Jarl who has a sword named Axe, maybe. You've got Borka 1, Grizzle 1, Madrak 2, and Gunnbjorn. I think Gunnbjorn's going to be really good when that Glacier King becomes regular release, because that's being able to swap that in and out is going to be really nice for him.
I don't think that model's that great.
So much under him, it's shined so fucking much. Like, so much stuff has come out that is amazing with Gunnbjorn, which is just a weird thing to say, having went from when Gunnbjorn came out, that he's almost getting to the point of having like a cookie cutter list. Because you have him, you're going to bring the Highwaymen with Braylon, you're going to bring a Glacier King. I mean,
and so. An impaler
and a bomber, so that's like 48 points or something absurd right there. Like, you're really getting to a 50-point list right there.
Yeah, it's tough to really find some wiggle room with him. If Doomshaper 3 didn't come out in this book, that book would be called...
But that's an amazing fucking Gunnbjorn list.
Doomshaper 3 is on this list, right?
No, he will be when he gets released, though, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that...
When does this drop? Is this out now?
No, it's not.
Whenever this... It depends what comes out first.
Oh, so he's going to get kicked out right away. He's going to be on ADR for a week and then get kicked out or whatever.
Depending on when he drops.
That's probably good news for everybody.
Yeah, because when you start swapping things with him,
he's a rough son of a bitch.
He gets very interesting.
Yeah, you can cherry pick your type of elemental troll to shut down your opponent, now you've got a real freaking advantage.
ADR is 6 months, so, and they change it up at Lock and Load, if I remember correctly.
Correct, yeah, that was for the announcement.
So then it would probably be around January is when this goes live.
Oh, so he's getting knocked out right away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say as soon as Doomy, while Doomy 3 is on the ADR list, I'd say the trolls got a good ADR.
Yeah, they do. Gristle 1's really nice. Madrak 2 is a really, like, he does a lot of different things. He can crack armor, he can remove
again,
infantry.
Again, his issue is that he's got to take them... lower cost melee infantries
just do so little. Yeah,
they just do so little now.
Yeah,
but no, I think
I would do Gunnbjorn and my Gristle 1 theme force. That's what I would do.
Yeah, that's
what I'm most familiar with. God, but Madrak 2 is so good.
He is. That's Madrak 2. I think is always going to be in there. And then that rate, he kind of shuts out Borka because they kind of work the same magic, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah.
Then on. Circle, this is the one that everybody's kind of frowny about, is Chromac 1, Balder 1, Mosair, and I think it's Kruger 1. I can never keep them straight.
Stormwrath is Kruger 1.
Yeah.
Lord is 2.
So those are, that's, I don't know.
I hate Mosair, personally, as a Circle player.
You either love him or you hate him.
I also hate P. Kruger. I just feel like what he does, I can get so much easier with everybody else.
So then you think your list becomes Cromac and Balder, and then you're just...
And I also hate Balder, so I'd be playing just Cromac 1. Balder is a really... Balder 1 is...
There's
Cromac 1, the Ravenous.
These are all 1s.
Yep, yeah. They're all 1s.
You don't have to guess whether it's 1 or 2, because they do say epic for the ones that are 2s.
Oh, yeah, it's in the parentheses.
It's in the parentheses.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Cromac is the good one on that list, to me.
Yeah.
I mean, Balder, he's got, you know... He's got issues where he can try to keep his army alive, but he doesn't do anything to power through stuff. And Circle can't keep even trying to keep your army alive. It's probably not happening.
Well, and with Balder, doesn't he play nicer with the constructs who don't have Pathfinder?
No, the constructs have Pathfinder.
Okay, for some reason I thought they didn't.
No, but I mean he's got a special rule that works on constructs, but then his no knockdown spell is much, much better on doggies.
Yeah.
So he's kinda he can't get everything he wants in one bundle. You know, you don't have a Construct Stalker.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a Construct Stalker, then yeah, okay. But there's nothing high defense that you want to keep on his feet with Constructs for the no knockdown spell.
Yeah, I think there will be some people who mess around with Mosair a lot just because you do get the options with him. And I do. There are the camps are like you either love him or hate him, I think.
By the way.
I think he is a D-list caster. I mean, Mosair? I can't see anybody winning a big tournament with him. He's got 8 Fury, which is cool, but what he does with it is just depressing. It's like, wow, this sucks.
The one thing I've seen him shine was when he teleported to a Krix caster and melee assassinated him because he's a weapon master.
But a lot of people know, like Keith always baits that out of people with his Gatsby, and he camped 6 focus.
Yeah.
And once he gets there, gets armor 22, he's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, even though a weapon master.
It's not enough.
Side note, Gunbjorn, Glacial King, Impaler, Bomber, Max Highwayman, and Braylon leaves you with 11 points.
That's if you keep that same list, you can kick it into his Big Bang Theory theme list, and you gain 1 point.
Oh, yeah.
It lets you take a full unit of bushwhackers and some other stuff. It's kind of fun.
But the point is, even without, like, so much, 44 points of his list are cookie cutter.
You want them in there. Like, Snipe is good on Highwaymen. It's just a really good deal. But then Scorn comes up now, and this one's got Hexaris 2, Makeda 3, Zal 2, and Morgul 1. Yeah, Morgul 1.
Morgul 1's solid.
Morgul 1's a killer against Hordes, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think the list they have is pretty decent. They don't have, like, your... I think Zal would be interesting, but I think he's one of those guys where he kind of suffers where his list is going to be built the same way for a long time until something new comes around.
Zal 1 in ADR would be awesome, because Zal 1 can play a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But he's not on there, obviously.
Well, I think it was... it might have been Zal 1 and... the ascetic fuck the guy the with all the blades in him
fuck. The ascetic fuck,
his name is something master ascetic,
what,
Naresh master ascetic,
that's the he's got
he's
like
double the, double yeah. double pointy arms.
They had those two. I think when ADR first came around were really like powerhousey, so I don't know. I don't see anything in here that... I guess I just don't play Scorn enough to really comment too much on what they're gonna do or what they're gonna bring.
If we could only had a Brian on the podcast that could talk Scorn.
So, tier 2, Gunbjorn, Glacier King, Bomber, Impaler, Max Highwaymen, Max Bushwhackers with UA, and Braylon leaves you 2 points.
That's for Whelps, because his battle group is going to max out every fucking turn.
Well, there you go.
Like, the Glacier King going up to 5 and then wanting to far strike, and then
that's
the Bomber
the reason
wanting to
why I'm not sold on the Glacier King is Rate of Fire 3 is a terrible rule.
It's really... Well, Rate of Fire 3 is nice when you've got Guided Fire, so you're getting all your boosted
well,
shots.
I understand that, and Raven got that same thing with the Manticore, and I would not take the Manticore with Raven. That's a piece of junk.
I think the Glacier King having Thunderbolt to keep people, the big things, off your army, and then being able to go in later... Well, I've used it to great success.
Yeah, well, not against something like Doomy 3 or somebody that's armor.
No, if I was playing Doomy 3, though, I don't think I'd play that into him, honestly. It's rough. But
any other faction, if they got two heavies, they can just arm lock one to the other, and then you got to get the crit.
Legion is...
Nobody ever bothers to think to do that.
No, like, yeah, you don't see the hand-holding.
You just don't see the hand-holding as much as you'd think you would.
I think the Stalkers look the best when they do it. They're so pretty. But you've got, in Legion, you've got Ryaz, Vale 1, Lilith 2, and Absalonia too. This is I think won the ADR list. I don't think there's anyone who had a better time than them.
I think the ADR should have been this. I think it should have been Saren and Ryas. And then whatever.
The reason they didn't do that is because you can't pair Saren and Ryas with either Saren or Ryas. So
yeah,
now you'd be so limited on what you can play.
Yeah, you can, because you can play like Sorcerer and Sorcerer
2. Yeah,
they got rid of that part of it.
That's an optional rule that's in the back of the Steamroller. No, it was never the standard. Nobody ever used it, to my knowledge.
Yeah, because you can play Doomshaper and Doomshaper 2.
Maybe back in Mark 1 or something.
No, it was in Mark 2 at the beginning.
I know. I don't know how much like the Lilith 2 list changes from what they normally play. Maybe adding a little guns here and there.
They could decide to take out the Blessed thing against stuff that they don't need it against.
Yeah, and then pull in a few things. So
they
could
also
like
take out Ravagors against fire immune armies.
Yeah. That's whenever I see a Lilith 2 in
But
a,
what do they replace it with? Bolt throwers?
Yeah.
I guess.
At least they can hurt things.
Yeah, I guess.
Exactly. Like, I'll take... If a Legion player has Lilith 2, I'll drop Kalandra into it all day. I just don't care.
My Lilith 2 already has 2 bolt throwers in it. So...
Oh, 2 more. What do you want?
Are they FAU?
Yeah, they are.
Blight Wasps, all out your butt.
Yeah, I think they...
And the Bolt Thrower would be a good sub in for your Blessed guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're pulling the Blessed guy out, you'd probably only have room for something small like a Bolt Thrower.
So our very last one, I think, gets really nice with the new book when those releases come. But you've got Helga, Arcadius, Rask, and Caliban. And I think Arcadius and Caliban really, like... I think they're good on ADR when their devastation releases come out.
Arcadius is unlikely to like the nature of the beast list that everybody uses is set.
It's set. It's not so tailorable because I thought with the light beast, maybe the new light beast, you might be able to tailor it a little bit.
You can, except the theme force specifies gunbore. It doesn't war beast. It specifies gunbore.
I think you said that last week. Right?
I mean, you could still give up. I mean, you can drop a gunbore and the free razor bore it brings with you to get a slag. You know, to get a splatter bore. I mean, that might be worth it, but it is a little annoying to have to do that. But so he's not going to use it as much as that. But you don't think Rask? Isn't Rask like considered Minion's best caster?
I think he's definitely Gator's best caster. Well, yeah, I guess at that point he is probably one of their best. So like maybe Rask and Caliban. I think Rask will be nice with the Arc Node also when it comes.
Yeah, well, Caliban with an Arc Node is pretty sexy too.
I think that's the thing is Caliban is like is
so he's got armor debuff, right? Caliban.
Yeah, he's got Parasite, right?
Arcing Parasite and then lighting something up with Croak Raider is probably pretty good.
What is also the really sexy thing about Caliban having an Arc Node is cycling. He can move Parasite multiple times during your turn. Like you can cycle that spell 4 or 5 times over the case of your turn.
His feat turn becomes extremely relevant.
His feat is every time you kill something, he gains a fury, and immediately if he feels like it can cast a spell.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So he can Parasite a unit, things can kill 4 members of the unit, and then he casts Parasite on another unit. Yeah.
And the Fire Toads can kill stuff at that rate. They can kill stuff at a rate enough where you could... Yeah. Potentially really damage somebody's army bad.
He can cycle Parasite functionally infinite times during his turn. After every model's activation, he can recast Parasite.
I think
Parasite.
He was the one I was looking at with Croak Raiders.
Yeah, an Arc Node with on his feed turn especially, that if he can run that into a position where it has Parasite threat to multiple things, it can just be sexy as fuck.
Yeah, and the price point on the Arc Node is not bad, 7? So they're not really taking a whole lot from the list.
What
it's terrible.
Arc Node? I didn't even know.
They got a new heavy who, I mean, he's armor 20 or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
and he's an Arc Node shield guard?
His Animus is gain Arc Node.
Oh,
so
that's
the
cool.
Issue is he can't run, so it's Animus and then Trample, or Animus and Charge.
Oh,
so,
the Animus and Trample is probably only going to cost you an inch or something. He's probably slow as hell.
I think he's a 5.
I want to say he's
4. He's only losing 1 inch. Whichever.
But that still sucks to have a speed 4 Arc Node.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not getting really anywhere.
Even if he's speed 5, the point is he's an 8-inch movement Arc Node.
Yeah.
Which isn't...
So that's what Circle deals with, but there's only cost a point, so...
Right.
Though the Blind Walker is 5, so there's that.
So,
he's meaty.
It's an 8-inch Arc Node, and
he's got
good
armor.
He's got good armor and shield guard, and...
The thing is, you can't be like, he doesn't do that much damage in melee, while none of the frickin' Gator beasts.
But with Parasite out there, I mean, that helps him out, too. I mean, if he's going to try and do work, but I think the Caliban list is really, like...
They gave him an ability that they obviously needed to give an ability just to function. Because his Animus costs 2, so he's going to Animus and Trample, which is 3 total fury, which fills him.
Oh, and then he can transfer when he's at 3.
Yeah, he has the ability to be transferred when he's full. I don't know why his Arknode ability doesn't just cost one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, really almost all them.
Oh, right? And it hurts him too.
But yeah. what if your caster casts it? That's what they're worried about.
Yeah. I use the fact that Iron Mother is an Arknode for herself all the time.
Well, she makes little babies.
Right, no, but she is also an Arknode.
Yeah, she is.
So if she ever wants to arc a spell through herself, she can.
Anytime she wants.
Yeah.
That's pretty broken. I don't think you can do that for one point.
Yeah.
So that rounds out all of the ADR. The other announcements that were cool was this, like, World War II style league where you have, like, named units almost. Mm-hmm. So, like, their champion things are, like, the units. I really like the artwork for the Karchev destroying himself thing. I think that was amazing. It kind of teased me a little bit before I read the rest of it. And they're restructuring the Journeyman League, which is kind of cool. I'm interested to see what that happens. What I don't like of this whole announcement is that we're stuck with Steamroller 2015 until Lock and Load. That's what I don't like.
Bright side, I can tell you, 2016 is shit.
Oh, yeah. I'll buy it. I don't know. I'll just say
that to make you feel better.
Yeah, okay.
You don't.
I'll live in that world.
It's garbage.
I mean, I really like the 2015 Steamroller, though. I feel like
it's kind of gotten blah. Like, all the scenarios feel the same.
They chopped the scenarios basically by a quarter.
They chopped the quarter from 12 to 8, right?
So that's a third of them off. Yeah.
And even the ones you get, they're all the same. Like, oh, dominate the flag or control the zone.
Yeah. Basically. I mean, yeah.
I liked
the last one that plays different. The one that still plays the most different is the three flag one that's been around Incursion. Forever.
I like Recon a lot.
Yeah, Recon. Man, whoever thought up Recon's a fucking genius.
But yeah, Incursion's kind of weird.
Well, not in fairness, but just to that point, I mean, the pattern you can see from 15 and 14 and 13 is that Steamroller is changing less and less. Like, the core rules. Like, if you tear off before you get to the scenarios and just read the Steamroller rules, they have not changed much at all in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's more like a well-greased machine. It's just been
a little bit of fine polishing, which means that, number one, just doing the fine polishing, but number two, that means that the bulk of the focus is on stuff like the scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
So if scenarios are the big complaint, luckily that's where most of the attention goes.
Well, and we might see a lot more innovation coming out of the new Steamroller packet because of Denegra 2's hit. Because I had heard through the grapevine that when they design these scenarios packets, they have to keep that in mind because she can definitely, depending on how it's set up, just win straight out on turn two or three. I mean, not like that's any different from what she could do before, but it's like...
It's not exactly true either, because, I mean, a lot of factions have access to cheap speed 7 solos who they could keep back and get locked out of the zone and run that sucker in.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as bad as people made it out to be.
No, but it is nice to see if that was one of their problems.
Well, it wasn't as bad as now until they released that stupid Theme Force. Yeah, then Pursuit it got really bad.
Right.
So, yeah, that rounds out all of the insider stuff that I think they released.
That was announced.
Other than they said they might, the new faction, I guess.
That's too much War Machine.
Let's go to Zappy Grumblecore.
Yeah, that was a fuckload of War Machine.
Yeah.
See if we let this Brian be in charge of conversations again.
I think if the other
You
Brian
like War
was
Machine
here,
too much.
I would have been murdered already.
He would have talked about doggies.
Yeah.
He's actually in the chat right now.
He's in the chat?
Yeah.
So he likes what we're cooking.
No, he doesn't.
Well, he better.
No. He went and cooked himself his own poo in the...
Well, when he comes back, he
Did
can
he
talk about
Did he cook himself a nice
ADR.
Bowl of raw crackers and eggs?
You don't cook it. That's the issue.
Yeah, it's tartar.
Yeah.
Well, you let crackers it get room tartar. Temperature. That's kind of cooking it, I guess.
You just kind of let the bacteria.
You got to make that culture happen.
Zavity Grumbles, let's go through. Man, that was a lot of talk in a War Machine.
Goddamn lot of talking. But it's a big with the things and the stuff. Oh, and also new Hordes faction.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah,
there's
new
no
Hordes
other
faction
info, but new Hordes
down
faction.
The line soon.
Zoolanders.
Maybe.
They can only go left.
Yes.
I hope they have a Colossal that only has a left field of fire.
Oh my god. If one of the theme forces is Blue Steel, it'd be amazing.
It would be.
In a tragic gasoline fight accident.
Dearly.
Oh man, they'd be if they're a faction of all large and medium medium bases, they could have the this must be a battlefield for ants feet where they all get man sized model.
Brian says he's going to murder you.
That's fine.
You're still talking about War Machine.
Whatever.
I hope the next faction is the Giants, and so everything they have nothing that's smaller than a huge than a large base.
No, a huge base.
No, no, their infantry is large base. Their casters are huge base. Yeah, their casters, anything battle group is huge base, but their infantry is all large base. It'd be like the ogres in Blood Bowl.
Fantasy.
Yuck.
And fantasy.
Yeah.
And that, not Zoo. Infernals would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't know if they're tied in because this is new power. Hordes. They're saying new Hordes faction, but they also years ago they said they were working on a faction that didn't use Focus or Fury,
mm-hmm.
and so it's, people are saying that that could be like the Infernals or something.
Well, they're talking
it could be a Hordes faction that doesn't use Fury, but then it's not a Hordes faction.
They're talking about possible league games that
the problem is they're not going to make a whole new game. You know, Hordes is technically
new mechanic,
they're not going to make. Well, they might make a whole new mechanic, but they're not going to name it under a new game.
Yeah,
so they're going to have to brand it as one of the two.
How Convergence was to War Machine, where they use Focus, but it's so inherently different than everyone else. They could do a Hordes thing like
Although I don't know that it should be. I mean, I think if everybody had the ancillary and everybody had the, I mean, if Convergence seems like a test for Mark III to me,
maybe.
Like, if everybody functioned in that way, you'd actually be able to play Warjacks. And then if you could play Warjacks, it would be able to stop fucking melee infantry in the ass every 2 days.
If Warjacks had 1-inch reach and could run, charge, slam, or trample without spending a focus, so they only needed to use focus for boosting and buying, isn't that enough, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, there's a lot of
ways. Oh, but that's about what Convergence does very close to that
by giving them one extra focus. It actually would be better. Well, maybe, because you don't get the free focus. Well, no, you still get it. It would be better because
you would have free focus when you landed there.
Anyway.
Let's zappity this Grimble.
Well, the other thing I was going to talk about was about, like, what did you guys do for Halloween? But now it's just too late.
I went and saw The Exorcist with my wife and an asshole.
I got drunk and played 3 games of War Machine in a row.
You didn't?
And you, too. You were also there. The asshole was that other guy that was sitting next to you.
The gal that fell asleep halfway through The Exorcist?
And then when we left The Exorcist, 2 people were showing up to the theater, obviously dressed up to go see The Exorcist. So I think they were confused about the showtime.
Maybe they thought Daylight Savings was a day early.
Maybe.
It was a long movie. Hey, you know what's amazing?
The extended cut.
Yeah. You know what's amazing about The Exorcist is how old Max von Sydow looks in that movie? And that's 1973.
I looked into it. They used makeup.
They used
a bunch of makeup to make him look older.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense because he's fucking old and he's even older now.
Yes. Sappity.
Grumble.
Lightning round style.
We've already... there's only 2.
Okay, so slow version.
We've already talked about this. Jim Goff asks, what would you consider to be the best way to grow a gaming community?
Make sure you show up every week.
Yeah. Consistently being there so that they know that there's always stuff there.
Try to be inclusive.
Yeah, that's, I think, the big thing, especially for his meta in Janesville, is that it seems like they play a lot on nights where there's nobody there so that they can have the space. But, like, Magic and War Machine transfer so well between the two that you really need to start playing around some Magic players. I think that's where you can get a lot of push.
If you're in a Warhammer Fantasy, find the Warhammer Fantasy night and go down and start playing.
Yeah. If there's a guy huddled in a corner crying, he probably played Warhammer Fantasy.
Yeah. You got to scoop them guys up. We all came from Fantasy.
Sounds like burnt PVC.
Or most of us came from Warhammer instead of...
Yeah, I came from a 40K or Magic to 40K to War Machine.
Right. And I went Magic to Warhammer to War Machine. So
Yeah,
you got to find some of them other gamers like... you got to find somebody that's already an entrenched gamer to get them into minis.
Probably. And is God okay you, with spending the money on minis, too, because that's something that Magic players, for some reason, have a problem with.
They spend so much more money on them cards than we ever do on minis.
But then when they vision it, though, they're spending $4 on that pack of cards to get that $100 card, but they actually don't realize they're spending $100 for a single card that they need.
Which is,
they don't judge you that.
It's literally worthless anyway. I mean, that piece of cardboard is worthless. At least you get scrap metal.
It's only well, worth what it is to someone who knows what it's worth.
I went into Pegasus the other day, and the guy was buying individual cards, and he was buying like $40 cards, and he bought like 4 of them. So, I mean,
that's almost no worse the whole than buying army.
It is. There's the smart money is in minis for the most part, unless you're a Games Workshop fan. And then the hard money or the bad money is in Magic, I think. If you look at it from an investing
Magic
standpoint.
Costs a shitload of money. I mean, there's no investment either way. It's going to cost you money, but Magic does cost you
a decade from now, I'm not going to pay for my kid's college tuition by selling a Colossal.
No,
but
I won't.
But if I had a Black Lotus in my back pocket.
Yeah, you could buy houses with that or boats.
Zabity.
Grumbo.
What do we think of people who hate potatoes?
They're stupid.
They're stupid. Yeah. And if they're named Aaron, that's worse, right? Yep.
Yeah. Aaron's an idiot.
And I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm not the biggest fan of potatoes.
Oh,
I think they're pretty bland in general.
You add butter.
Are you putting enough shit in them? Baked potatoes?
Yeah, I put a bunch of stuff.
Mashed potatoes?
What I do is
hash
I get...
Hash browns, motherfucker.
I don't even like hash browns. I'll get a meal, and I'll get a potato, and I'll eat all the good parts of the meal. And then I'll fill up on the potato. To me, that's all the potato is there for, is to fill up at the end.
I do it the other way around. Potatoes first, and then the burger later.
I do the Mitch Hedberg thing, where I just randomly turn on the oven and throw two potatoes in there, because a couple hours later, I'll just take them out and put salt and butter on them and just eat them like an apple.
You never know when you're going to potato.
Oh, man. I will eat a baked potato. Like just cut it into salt and pepper and a little butter. And
sour cream, some chives.
I feel like potatoes are completely... dead weight as far as nutrition value
chips.
Too, but
yeah
I don't even like chips. I don't like
getting
it's not that I hate them. I just don't like them. I will literally only fill up on them. I just
potato salad.
I think you're hurting Brian right now.
I feel like I'm Bubba from, except instead
exactly,
of shrimp,
that's
I'm
what
talking
I was
about
trying
potatoes.
To say.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you're going to Bubba him.
Potatoes, potato hash.
You can fry them,
bake them,
boil them.
Potatoes.
Yeah, I'm just not into potatoes, so potatoes, I disagree with
salad,
you guys on that one. Potato. I can totally
understand.
They
feel good in your butt.
Yeah, I've never known that.
Yeah, you can shoot potatoes.
And it's different variety, like a fingerling, a russet, a big sweet potato. They all feel differently when you shove them into your anus.
You know what sucks is sweet potato fries.
I'm not a fan of those.
Sweet potatoes, no.
Mm-mm. I like squash because you put a bunch of butter and brown sugar on it. Yeah. It tastes really good. But in fry form, without the brown sugar and the butter, that's just terrible.
I have grown to... I used to hate sweet potato fries, but Raylene and her kids love them so much that we eat them all the time, and I've grown to tolerate them as being slightly sweeter tasting fries. But
that's what I do with regular potatoes. I tolerate their existence, but I just can't get into them as much. But insane.
Then you break into the category of fries, like McDonald's fries are different from Culver's fries or Waffles fries.
Wavy fries are the absolute worst potato. Wavy fries are hell.
Jesus Christ. So warning, we did get a bunch more. So now we're going to have to start lightning these.
Zappo, dude.
Ketchup.
Grumbo. See, I said grumbo.
Zappados and gumbo.
So it's like Bubba Gump.
Zappados
gumbo.
Is the new chicken, right?
Yes. Chicken lady.
Zappados and gumbo.
Against a Menoth army, it's fried Kentucky style.
Oh, Christ.
Not if you're playing e-ball there to live through anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything.
Boom.
Badushka. Anything.
Two of them, you make them both armor 21 every turn.
Okay.
Go
I know you guys like Shadows of Brimstone. What are your thoughts on the Wild West Pathfinder game?
I have no thoughts.
It's no tabletop. I mean, there's no randomness.
If I'm going to play a Wild West RPG, I'm just going to go dust off my old Deadlands books and play the fuck
Deadlands.
Out of Deadlands.
That's what I was thinking.
High-five Deadlands.
All right. Zabity.
Done.
I've never played Pathfinder, so I don't know.
Pathfinder's D&D.
Pathfinder is D&D 3.5.
Yeah.
Don't you have to
pick a job and you have an income and shit? Like, why aren't they just
D&D
killing kobolds and taking their money?
Yep. That's like The Sims. I just never really got into people who were... I never really got that.
I wish real life worked like The Sims where you could...
You could set it to fast forward
that
through
too.
Work.
No, and you could just fuck anyone. No, I like how jobs in The Sims, you're supposed to go every day, but you can just not go anytime you feel like it. Yeah. But as long as you don't not go 2 days in a row, you don't get in trouble.
Yeah, that's fine.
You never get a weekend, but you always get any random day off.
Yeah, you can get any weekend.
And that's Gollum. Oh, that's the potatoes, YTMND. It's sad I recognize that just from seeing the frozen picture of Gollum.
Potatoes.
Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
See, that's another reason not to like them.
Potatoes.
Zappity. So we don't like Aaron because he doesn't
Aaron's
like potatoes.
A shithead.
And especially because he's Australian.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I think Australians are hilarious.
I think that's actually where most of our audience resides, is in Australia.
The new study, did you hear the new study about the origin of the Australian accent? Was that it's a mix of British English, Aboriginal, Irish, and drunk. Those are the
they
four.
They drink a lot. Down
well, that
there.
Was the thing, and not even necessarily now, but they said like it back in the day. And
they
so,
drink a lot down there still.
And well, I thought of you to, yeah. because the example I heard the scientist talking about was comparing the phrase "That's not a knife. This is a knife."
And well, then not a knife.
20 beers later, you say, "That's not a knife. It's a knife," and that's Australian.
Impeccable.
Oh my God.
I didn't even know you were from Wisconsin or Chicago.
Just the confused look at Jim's face like an hour later when he just walks up to me. He looks like a dog that you just did a magic trick in front of. He's just like, what? Where's that the, crocodile Dundee?
Yeah, where'd the ball go?
Denbox yeah. says, yep.
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 All right, Zavity.
Grumble.
There are four bags of astronaut poop on the moon.
Okay.
When are we going to make Nathan's dream come true and add a fifth?
That's not true. That was all on a Hollywood set.
No, but after they did the shooting on the set, they shot the poop to the moon.
So that you could go in with the telescope. Yes. So you could go with the telescope and see them. And yeah. Yes. Yeah, that makes
that's
sense.
That's their proof. Kubrick yep. just insisted that they shoot the poop yep. to the moon.
No, that makes sense to me.
I would poop on the moon. Shit, I would die happy. I would take off my suit and die from exposure just to poop on the moon.
Would you, like, if you had to choose, would you be more, like, diarrhea shit or, like, solid chunks of shit?
It would be, like, a Dairy Queen swirl.
Yeah,
because
then
a little
you'd get
bloop
into,
on top.
Like, you could be pooping and hitting like yourself in the face with it at the same time in the same stream.
That would be, what was your stupid poop website? That'd be the number one on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, rate my poo.
Yeah. Space poo would be the best poo.
It's floating in air. Yeah. Or his thumbs up and it's just floating out.
No, if you have diarrhea, then it'd be a ball of poo. Because it would be a sphere.
Yeah.
If you had diarrhea, you could propel yourself around the moon. You could just shoot around space like a rocket.
Is that a jet stream? Yeah. No, that's a shit stream right there.
Maybe NASA should research that as a propulsion method.
So that it would be in orbit around the moon, potentially?
Like, oh, man.
You're all eating Taco Bell before you go out there.
You could turn the moon into shit Saturn.
Yeah, that's a sequel to shit Saturn. Shattern.
Oh man.
Shattern.
Somebody bring us on to the topic of poop at the beginning of the podcast and we'll be set for the rest of it because people are happy that we're back on topic.
Yeah.
Just some random shit.
Random shit is our topic.
That could be the name of a podcast as well. Zabity.
Grumbo.
For all intensive purposes.
Oh,
fuck
no.
You.
Is that the correct use of
was that Brian? That was Brian, wasn't it?
No, it was Tort.
Oh, fuck you,
for
Tort.
All intensive purposes, isn't the incorrect use of moribund ironic?
I almost squeezed this bottle so hard it shattered in my hand.
Irregardless of intention.
Well composed. That was a well composed sentence.
It was well composed. I'm surprised nobody pointed out the redundancy in having two of the four accents be Irish and drunk.
Aren't they? Yeah, they're the same, right?
All right, Zavity. Raw crackers and egg, or listening to more Crippled System War Machine talk.
Well, I know what I'd choose.
I would probably go ahead with the raw eggs. Maybe I'd die.
And then not have to do either.
Yep. All right, Zavity.
Grumble.
Best poop-related novel or film?
I got it. Scrubs, the episode, everything comes down to poo. It's a musical about poop. I don't really like musicals, but that
it's not technically
epic.
A film, but I'll accept it as a write-in.
I don't care.
I'm doing a write-in as well, is Who Pooed the Bed?
Yeah, that's
episode
that's
of Always
really
Sunny.
Oh my
too.
God! So part of the fun of working at the print shop. So I don't work at the print shop at work anymore, but our print supervisor was out sick, and so I was covering for her because of my experience. And we had a bunch of people come in and printing up stuff for their Halloween costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy, a very Italian fat guy, and so he shaved the center part of his head to be Frank Reynolds, and he was printing out the official certificate proving he does not have donkey brains. I was so happy to print out the I do not have donkey brain certificate.
You should have just done that one on the house.
Oh, nice.
Here you go. It's free.
There's a poo demon in Dogma. I don't know if that counts. Dogma is Kevin Smith's worst film.
I like Dogma more than I like it.
No,
than,
you're right. Jersey Girls is the worst film.
Jersey Girls is pretty bad. I like Dogma more than I like.
I mean, that'd be pretty impressive. If Chasing Dogma Amy was his worst.
Movie. I like Chasing Amy.
I was gonna.
It's
go
more artsy fartsy though. But
Chasing Amy's fine. But I like Dogma more.
Dogma is probably better. Than
I guess that. I just don't like. I don't like the poo demon scene.
The Golgothian or whatever.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I think I like
poo humor can be funny, but that was just like, okay, it's made of poo.
The shit, yeah, I guess. Like, seeing Selma Hayek say shit demon kind of made her more real.
Selma Hayek dancing that school. You know what? Just never mind. Dogma is the greatest film ever. Dogma and From Dusk Till Dawn.
Dogma is the one where they kidnap the monkey.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Dogma is Dogma the one that has What Gear Are You In?
Oh, fuck. If I have to watch it again.
I think that's Jay and Silent Bob Strike. But no, it is Dogma because...
Jay and Silent Bob is the one with the
monkey. No, it's Dogma
monkey.
Because I think Chris Rock says that, where they're driving the car and it's a stick shift, and the car's just making terrible noise and, like, smoke and flame is shooting out, and Chris Rock is like, what gear are you in? And Jay just goes, gear? And then the next shot is them walking away from a broken car.
You'll have that.
Yeah.
So also Brian asked, too, if we, has any of us watched... Ash versus the Evil Dead.
No, I want to. I don't have stars.
Do I have stars?
No. Speaking of Brian and watching shit, so Bones. I've never watched Bones because it looks terrible.
It's average.
There's no magic on it, right?
It's just forensic. Crime.
Oh, I got an announcement.
What?
November 20th is the next Shadows Night.
Okay.
That's one of the hosts sent it to me. So
we should broadcast that.
How the fuck does Bones have a crossover episode with Sleepy Hollow?
Oh, that's stupid. Like, now that one is stupid.
Like, Sleepy Hollow literally has people raising from the dead and shooting lightning and all that shit, and you cross over with Bones, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it'd be like crossing over Buffy with CSI. What?
You're not even exaggerating. It's literally like crossing Buffy with CSI.
Yeah.
It makes no fucking sense.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Crossing CSI and Bones, fine. Crossing Buffy and Supernatural, fine. Yeah. But crossing Supernatural and NCIS, not fine. I don't care if you're on the same fucking channel.
Fucking Fox is so stupid sometimes. Sometimes. They're just fucking retarded. Well, sometimes they make amazing shows.
I want to make this. So this, Fox has got this new advertisement thing that they have, like, so funny, so such and such. It's like a thing that pops up.
Yeah.
Yep. I want to have So Canceled. I want to enter in So Canceled into there too, because everything they put out is just canceled.
Not the bad stuff.
Oh yeah, not the bad stuff. That stays around.
They've had some good stuff that didn't get canceled too. House is a good show.
And you know what? I think based on the ratings that it got, they are saints for giving us 3 seasons of Arrested Development. That show was a fucking masterpiece, but it did not pull the ratings.
Oh, no.
They had
no.
every financial right to cancel it. So I'll always raise a beer to them for that.
The thing is about Fox is they are actually willing to take some chances. The other network things, they'll just put drivel out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At least Fox puts, like, even Bones is not a great show, and it's just a CSI show. But it's got, like, quirky, different characters that actually try to act.
Yeah.
Unlike, I mean, you try to watch, like, the CSI. Yeah. It's like the acting is so bad. It's just like they don't even try to have characters or anything. It's just awful.
I have one more Zappity Grumble.
Rare.
Moon poop or moon potatoes?
You have to take off your helmet to check.
Yep.
It's the most dangerous game.
Hey, stranger, check out these.
Good old Space Stormy.
Any version of Stormy is good.
Yep.
That show was epic.
Yep. I'm surprised that hasn't made a revival of some way or another, because at least like a Christmas episode.
Yeah. Yeah, or just a random cameo on some other show.
Instead of the Peanuts movie, they should have just released C-Lab.
Every movie should still have the intro from the Aqua Teen movie in front of it.
Yes.
With Mastodon as the foods. That is the best.
It is, It is very good. We should call it quits here. We should do some recommendations because we have to go get food and watch Packer game.
Okay.
Recommendations.
Oh, that's what I was
gonna I've got one I've been hanging on to.
I've got one I've forgotten every week for the past, like,
go ahead.
2 years. No, I'll remember it. You can go ahead.
Okay. I'll remind you. Okay. Painting Buddha is a channel that's on YouTube right now. Or not right now. They've been there for a while. But right now they're painting, I think
Buddha.
It's Painting Buddha.
Right.
Yep, right now what they're doing is they're doing, that's the name of their channel.
Oh, that's not just what they paint?
No, they do a lot of...
just one large Buddha that they're painting.
They do a lot of neat stuff.
Over
they
and
did
over.
Like a, they did a really good, like, showroom quality Centurion, not maybe 6 months ago, but right now they're working on the Shield Maiden bust. It's basically the lady from Vikings, I forget her name, Lagertha, and... if you're like wanting to try and like step up to some like higher level skills, like if you're at that mid level painting and you just can't get over your plateau, these guys are amazing to watch. They go through everything in great detail and it's just really well produced. Great, great stuff. So if you're checking it out and want to up your game, the Painting Buddha on YouTube is where you want to go.
I'll go. My recommendation is iZombie. It's it's a quirky little show. It's kind of, I'm probably the
is
one
it a
person.
Off of iLegend?
No.
It's a teenage zombie who works in a morgue and solves crimes by eating brains.
Similar then.
Yeah.
It's a very quirky show. I'm one of the people in the podcast that probably has never seen all of Buffy. I'm the person who has not seen that, but I assume that this show fills that niche. It is.
It's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Buffy would catch you every once in a while by being really serious.
Yeah, fucking would.
It's about 3/4 into the first season, so I figured I'd watch it, and it's been pretty cool so far. I like it.
It's not a cinematic Marvel, you know. It's not like, but the thing is, it knows what it is, and it's cute, and it's fun, and it does a good job at being what it is.
And she's cute.
Yeah, and she's cute. It actually is somewhat clever. Like it mixes up the zombie mythos by having like smart zombies. You know, like the thing is, the reason they eat brains is as long as they have a supply of brains, they're actually functioning, you know, members of society. They're not the feral dumb thing. So you can have evil zombies who are like serial killers to get at brains to keep themselves. You know, so it has some interesting stuff like that, but it's just, it's cute. It's fun. It is what it is. It's enjoyable. It's popcorn, you know, just eat popcorn, watch and go, this is fun.
Yep. I like it. I feel like if I feel like I could probably watch Buffy and still be a fan of that as well. It feels like it's in that same genre.
Buffy would mix having fluffy moments like iZombie with then also having kick you in the nuts emotional moments. And sometimes it was an episode would be one or the other, but they would also do it back and forth within individual episodes as well.
Sure.
But iZombie definitely feels like the Willow and Xander being wacky moments of Buffy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine is an app called Slacker Radio. If you like 90s alternative, it's got the best 90s alternative station ever. It goes really deep into playlists, things you haven't heard since you were a kid for me.
Just doesn't play Interstate Love Song over and over
again. Right, yeah. I'm pretty sure what I've heard is like Pandora, you could listen to it for an hour and a half and the 90s station would start repeating.
Yes.
Yeah. Is my understanding of it. Whereas this one plays stuff like Rancid. You don't even hardly remember them, but they're really good.
Yeah.
And
they
like,
existed.
It'll go deep into like Cake and Toad and the Wet Sprockets. And I mean, it plays really deep into
the
90s.
Green Day songs, not from Dookie.
Yeah, it's got a variety of Green Day songs and Offspring. It's got, you know, Offspring's most popular songs are really terrible, shitty ones.
But Ignition was an amazing album, though, and never really got the play that it deserved.
Yeah, and they get deep into some of them. I forget the one Offspring song that's really, really good, but I think it might be off of that.
It's called it's Self-Esteem. I know, because that's the one they play all the time.
No, yeah, that's not it. Well, the one they play all the time is Pretty Fly for a White Guy. It makes you shoot yourself.
Oh, yeah, because that's so nice.
I love The Kids Aren't All Right. That's one of my favorite Offspring songs, to be fair.
Gone Away.
Gone away, that's away, it. Yeah, is that off of Ignition?
No, that one is after Ignition.
That song is amazing, and they don't just play the really popular stuff from Offspring. They play that. And then, like, I only like one Soundgarden song. It's The Day I Tried to Live.
Yeah,
and they actually play it on there, and it was never released as a single.
Mm-hmm.
I think the closest it got was the trailer credits for Bill and Ted 2.
the best sequel
it got.
Ever.
Yeah, that's the closest it got to released. But so I mean, it's really, really good. If you like 90s alternative, it has got the best 90s alternative station. I mean, I've listened to it for a month, and I probably heard 7 repeats.
Yeah. Cool. Make you pull out those that's flannel awesome. Shirts. Awesome.
What's that?
Make you pull out those flannel shirts.
Yep. Yeah, it's all sorts of good. I love 90s alternative. Yeah. So I like 90s rap, too, and Pandora has a good 90s rap.
It's like 90s music.
Right. Well, no, because you put on 90s music, and you start getting Spice Girls and Hansons.
Yeah. Mbop all day.
Yeah, I hate Mbop.
But yeah, Slacker Radio, sweet app, free. It's you can pay like $3 to never get ads, but they only play like one ad a day.
So save your $3.
Yes.
All right, my recommendation is a movie that I don't think gets enough love, and I think it deserves to be a classic forever because it's one of my favorite just dumb fucking comedies. I love Eurotrip.
Yeah, that's the one with the nude beach. Yeah, yes, that was pretty good.
That's with the nude beach. That's the one with the fucking safe word that he can't pronounce, yeah. And then she gets out the bowl or the
chainsaw. Well, slash.
Don't they bring in another person too to do it?
Jackhammer. That's what it is. Yeah, like,
the dildo jackhammer.
Yeah, the dildo jackhammer, and that's Xena, which is amazing.
Yeah,
that's
her. Lucy Lawless.
You know, this isn't where she's I parked my car.
She's naked in Spartacus.
She sure is. As someone who masturbates, I enjoy that. But no, Eurotrip, I think was like. It came and people were like, oh, that was a funny movie. And then I think people just kind of moved on with their lives. Like, I don't go and see people's DVD collections and see Eurotrip on their shelf as much as I should. And the whole convoluted, way too long setup for him to be mistaken as the Pope is just Marx Brothers level genius. I love Eurotrip.
There's a lot of movies that fit that genre. That are really bad. So yeah. I think there's yeah, very people, few of those.
People, I think what happened is people saw it and they're like, wow, that was really good for one of them movies. Yeah. And then when they go and look at it at the store, they forget that was the good one of those movies. Yeah,
like they see Eurotrip next to like Road Trip and American Pie 17 and they go, oh, those movies are all terrible, and they keep walking. And Eurotrip's fucking amazing.
Well, yep. The other thing they have going against them too is that I think during that same time is when like the Hostel series came out.
Maybe.
So like the first half of Hostel is Eurotrip, and then instead of quirky fun comedy, it's complete murder and debauchery.
And it has far too little Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
I
got another recommendation. The Team America World Police song soundtrack.
I was going to say is the other movie that kind of in that same vein that doesn't get enough props is Not Another Teen Movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That one is funny. They got Cleveland Steamers in there.
It gets lumped in with the scary movies and the date movies and the epic movies.
It's got the slow clap guy. Yeah, that one's a good one. That one is funny.
It's the one really well executed.
Because instead of having one off jokes, they have jokes that kind of come back a little bit. It's like the slow clap guy, finally at the end, he gets her, you know?
No, he doesn't get it. Somebody else starts it before. Yeah,
that's right.
He misses his chance. That's when you compare good satire like Airplane to shit like, you know, the scary movie 17.
Correct.
And you can't just be lazy, you know, and Not Another Teen Movie is legitimately hilarious.
That one is funny.
Maybe that's something we should do for a pain train to see if we can get that as. Oh, another.
And then the like little things, like the gratuitously naked European exchange student is named Areola.
Excuse me.
Yep. That's a good one. That is a good one. Because it makes fun of all them stupid, shitty movies instead of being one of them stupid, shitty movies.
Well, the thing is, the other, like, things like Epic Movie, all the ones made by those guys whose names I can't remember, the people who did Epic Movie and Date Movie and everything, that they just shit out these $5 movies that make $6, so technically they're profitable, so they keep shitting out more of them. They don't make jokes. They literally just, like, there'll be a scene going, and then a pregnant woman will come in, and they'll go, look, it's Juno. Juno's a movie, and then she'll walk off screen.
Yeah, and
not a fucking joke.
They piggyback off of other things, like the, I can't remember which one that,
Meet
that
the Spartans?
Went off of, that went off of the Chronicles of Narnia, and then, like,
yeah, Mystique that was Epic was Movie.
Yeah, Epic Movie.
Yeah, and that was the one, and The Onion gave an F to one of them, and it was talking about this in the review, or the AV Club, not The Onion, but the one they pointed out was in one of the movies. It came out like the year that Blue Crush came out.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a scene in this movie where they're at a beach for no reason. A girl walks by with a surfboard. One of the characters goes, hey, what's up, Blue Crush? And then they walk off the beach and the scene is over.
Yeah, and that was the joke.
So the entire point of the scene was for them to say the name of a movie because that's a reference.
Well,
that's
when people get things, they like it. Yeah.
Right?
The other issue with movies like that then, too, is they have the chance to be funny, but they don't have the comedic timing. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to show that goofy scene, and they don't cut it right away. No, they're just going to let it pan out for the next 3 minutes.
I will say, in fairness, I think it was three, I could be wrong, but one of the scary movies was a resurgence. It was actually decent. Whichever one it was is the one that has somebody, it hits like somebody with a shovel, and then he cocks the shovel, and a shotgun shell like flies out of the handle.
The very first one with Charlie Sheen, where they did the War of the Worlds
thing. I think it was four.
No, I think it's three or four. That's not in the first one. I know that's in one of the later ones because it was like, oh my god, they're trying.
It's Charlie
again.
Sheen
it's,
that does
it's
that.
The one
no,
with
it isn't.
Charlie
it's a black
Sheen.
Guy. I know it's a black guy. It's like one of the Keenan or Kel kind of guys. But yeah, he cocks the shot.
Emilio Estevez.
Yes, in blackface.
Jeez. All right, we're done.
Garbage. So good.
Are we going to be done?
Okay. Sure. Can we go watch Eurotrip and not another team movie?
No, because I don't own Eurotrip. I own another,
right?
another team movie.
My point is
but I own another, not another team movie, though.
Okay.
We're putting on the World Series.
Yeah, we're watching the Packer game.
Oh, yeah, Zappity.
World Series.
The Cubs aren't in it. I don't care.